God is good. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, man. Whew. Oh. He's so good.
Amen.
We got to break out of our routines, don't we? Yeah. We do. We need Holy Spirit to just lead us.
Yeah.
Take charge of our hearts and our lives.
Yeah.
Church, I don't want to just do church anymore. Man, I know I got a few of you out there. I'm tired of church. We need Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't need a form of religion. Anybody can have that. We need Jesus.
Yeah.
We need relationship, man. We need God to just come in and take over.
Yeah.
Our families need and demand Jesus. The sacrifice demands effort in this area, friends. We need Jesus. There's hurting people. There's people that you and I know every day that we walk by every day. And all that God asks is go to the ones that He points out and highlights. Holy Spirit will lead you to those people. If you pray that God would give you an open door and you're willing to be used. Can I just say something? Your flesh does not want to be used by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Your flesh always says no. Always. Your flesh will never say yes to God. Your flesh will say yes, yeah, I'll go to a service. But your spirit says, I will go and offer myself to the King of Kings. Your spirit says, I will do Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present my body as a living sacrifice, you see. That's what the Spirit of God desires in you and in I. But your flesh will say no. Your flesh will always say no to the prayer meeting. Your flesh will always say no to reaching out to your neighbor. But your spirit always says yes. Because that's the Spirit of God that comes alive. But I will tell you, and I've lived this myself, when you begin to say no over and over and over and over again, that voice becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But it doesn't have to be so. Because we've all had our lights go dim at times, haven't we? But I will tell you, it doesn't take a whole lot. Really, all it takes is you recognizing it and saying yes to Jesus. You know, God hasn't called you to be a superhero. You remember Gideon in the Bible? Some of you know Gideon was a man who was a byproduct of his culture. He was a byproduct of a generation that had lost sight of what was truly important. They lost sight of worshiping the one true God. And even his own father worshiped Asherah. Even Gideon's own father did. His own father went another way. But God saw something in Gideon. He saw that there was a man who was a little bit disgruntled, a man who was frustrated, who was trying to meet out an existence. Remember, the Midianites were coming against them at that time. And he was tired of this oppressive way that he was living. But the only thing he knew to believe was what the generation previous had said to him. And he heard about all the Red Sea parting and all these great and wonderful things that happened years and years ago. And here's Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press. But see, the Spirit of God will always come and He'll give us an opportunity, even if you've been raised in a very difficult circumstance. And maybe you, like Gideon, well, you were in a family. You heard all about the great things that happened years back when. But you never saw it in your home. You never saw mom and dad actually loving each other the way that God had called them to love each other. You never saw a sacrificial man. In fact, maybe you saw an abusive person. Maybe you saw an abusive mother. Maybe you saw strife and heartache. Or you saw people, let's not dabble too much, but well, you saw people act one way at church and another way entirely when they were out in the world and amongst their peeps. But see, even if you were in a byproduct of that, even if you saw generations of what the world calls hypocrites, even in that, God, in His mercy, will come to you and He will give you an opportunity to come to Him. Because the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and he called Gideon who he truly was, a mighty warrior for God. Amen? He called him forth, and Gideon was like, my gosh, I'm not a mighty warrior. Look at me. I'm sitting here bound up in fear and oppression. I'm to the point where I'm just trying to eke out an existence here. I'm just trying to get by. Oh, yeah, I've heard it all. I've heard all the stories. I've heard all this great and wonderful things. Oh, we heard about the great revivals that we used to have. And people would get happy and they'd just, oh, you should have seen so-and-so. They were out on the floor and this and that and everything else. Well, where are they at now? And see, Gideon heard all that. But the angel of the Lord still came to him and he said, Gideon, listen. These are the words that always get me about that story. Go in the strength that you have. See, God doesn't expect you to be a superhero. He doesn't. And you're not going to be right out of the gate. Oh, gosh, we have zeal. I remember when I first got saved. Oh, I'm going to save the world. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to want to hear. Yeah. And you go out with that zeal. And then, of course, the church people, they calm you down, you know. They got to get you churchified, and you got to look like us. Go in the strength that you have. And for you today, you might be struggling with some things with God. Maybe you've gone through some pretty traumatic things in your life. I don't know. But I know the God who does know. Yeah. And He would say to you today, go in the strength that you have. If you will yield what you have to God, God can do so much with a little. Yeah. He can do so much with just a very little bit. For crying out loud, He took 12 unruly fishermen, cussers, heathen. And He took those men and transformed their lives and their families, and they transformed the world. And it's the same gospel that we're preaching today. We can read the stories. Friends, these weren't just stories. This is truth. It's God's word. Now, we're in this series. Everybody okay today? All right. Okay. We're in this series, and it's called Keep It Hot, all right? I kind of like that title, Keep It Hot, all right? Here's the base scripture. I've read it, and I think it's good for us to just have this point of reference always, but it's 2 Timothy 1:3-7, and it says this, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly. Remember, this is Paul. He's writing to Timothy here. This is Paul's last letter, last words. And he says, as I remember you, Timothy, in tears, I long to see you. There was a great love there. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I can't wait to see what God is doing in your life, Timothy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, three generations, it was being passed on and it was multiplying, and there was a great anointing that came on Timothy's life. And he says, I know that that dwells in you now. And for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, because Paul knew Timothy. Paul knew that Timothy needed encouragement at times. Anybody ever need just a word of encouragement sometimes, you know? Every now and then, isn't it nice to just have somebody come up and just say, hey, good job, man, thank you, or, you know, a pat on the back, or, hey, you did a really good job there, even if you didn't. Sometimes, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, great effort. You know, we're so quick to just point out the flaws, okay? We need to find ways to bless people and have positive speech over their lives. The world will just beat you down, and let's not do that as the body of Christ. And here he is. Paul knew this, and he says, I remind you, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. Keep that thing hot, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. And see, in that day and age, and still today, there's many times, I bet many of you could point to a time in your life at an altar or somewhere. I've talked to enough of you to know that there were times that you were at altars and the Lord would use somebody that laid their hands upon you, and there was a gift, there was an impartation that came into your life. Many times you'll see the pattern in Scripture when people were receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And friends, I'm here to tell you, that's nothing to be afraid of. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift, and it will bless your life. I know there's been all kinds of abuses and everything. It doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't have it or anything like that, but it's a gift that God wants you to have, because he said in Acts that it's for you, it's for your children, it's for your children's children, and all the generations afar off. And there's a lot of people that are just like, oh, we don't need it. Yeah, you do. It's a lifeline for you. It's a lifeline, and I want to encourage you in that. So things happen when they lay hands, and that's what Paul was saying. Fan that thing into flame, Timothy. Keep it hot. And remember, Paul knew the importance of passing the torch from one generation to the next. And that's something that we have to contend for as a church. I will tell you, there are too many churches, and I pray to God that we will not be one. We get so set in our ways that our methods become irrelevant. It's not the message that's irrelevant, but our methods become, it doesn't connect with people. We need to find ways. Holy Spirit is creative enough to impart to us the ways to do it, friends. And I'm going to tell you that the generation that is coming up now, Gen Z or whatever it is, there was Gen X, now we're on Gen Z. But this Gen Z is very relational. They're very skeptical. They don't just believe it because you put it on a sign out front, okay? And they're not going to come in your church, in the church doors, just by driving by. I suppose it could happen, but it's very rare. We have to be a relational people. And what do they see when they come in? Half the time, our churches are backbiting and this, that, and everything. And oh my gosh, they put pallets up there on the front. Oh, can you believe it? God won't show up now. I think he showed up this morning. I think he's here every week. I don't think the problem's with God, is it? The problem's with us. It has nothing to do with pallets and lights. Nothing. That just beautifies the place. It makes it look nice. Spruces it up. But that's not what does it. It's the heart that God is attracted to. We need to have our hearts right with the Lord. So Timothy, here he is. Paul is passing the torch to him. And we know that this was a very difficult time that he was living in. And Paul warned him. He warned him to preach the word. He knew that there was going to be people and there was going to be factions that would come in and they would try to take over. There would be wolves, if you will, that would try to control the things of the Spirit. Dear God, may we never become like that. May we always allow the freedom of God to have his house. Friends, this is God's house. Can we say that together? This is God's house. This is God's house. It's not my house. It's not your house. This is God's house, you see. And it's erected for his glory. His glory, not ours. See, he told Timothy, and I'm there's no way I'm going to get through all this today, unless you guys don't mind getting on about three. That'd be good. No. Don't tell me you're going to go watch the Bears. I think I've lost a little bit of interest this year with them. Perilous times will come, Timothy. There's going to be times where people are not going to endure sound doctrine. There's going to be times where people, they're going to listen to culture rather than listening to the Word of God, the truth, you see. And in those times, Timothy, hang on. Preach the Word. Be ready, Timothy. Keep it hot. You see, friends, we are living in a day and age. And I think if we're honest, there are times in our own lives we can become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be uncomfortable. Do you? We like to have cushy chairs. We like to have a nice bed. Man, I slept on a different bed this weekend, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. And this mattress was about that thick. So I took another one and put it on top of it. And it was like that thick. And I think I should have put two more on there. I didn't sleep real good. I didn't have my sweetie next to me. And I didn't have Max next to me, either. Max, a little dog. Of course, none of you guys, dog lovers, ever sleep with your dogs, right? Okay. They all try to get up there, don't they? But the truth of it is, we like things our way. We like to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. But perilous times are going to come. There's going to be times in our lives, friends, as Christians, that our walks are going to become more and more uncomfortable with culture. Okay? Culture is going completely opposite direction of what the Spirit of God is going. It's becoming tougher and tougher to swim upstream. But I will tell you, if you really want to swim upstream and you want to be effective, hang on to Jesus. Amen. It's like, it's almost like He takes us and we're hanging on to Him and He's pulling us through that current that's fighting us, okay? And every now and then, if you've ever been around a river, you know those eddies that are kind of that calm water that's on the side? Every now and then, He'll even take us out of that current and put us right in that eddy so we can rest and refresh. I think that's a good word picture. That's a good place to say amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. Yeah, all right. Perilous times will come. But you know what? If you and I will keep that flame going, we're going to be all right. You know, we talked a little bit about lukewarmness last week, and lukewarmness is never going to cut it in the kingdom of God. You're going to be ate alive if you are lukewarm for Jesus. I guarantee it. We are living in a day and age where it is antichrist everywhere. All you have to do is stand up for, you know, marriage, traditional marriage, and you will have things come against you. Because the Bible is truth, and the Bible still says that marriage is between a man and a woman, you see? And in here, it's easy for us to say amen. But when you're out there, do you still have the same message? Because it's not in a condemning way, but it's in a way that offers truth so that people can be freed, you see? And they can experience the love and the trueness of Jesus and who He is. Sometimes we think we got to fix the people. No, we just need to be the purveyors of truth. Love people, encourage people, serve people. Amen. You see, we need to let Holy Spirit do the work on the heart. Amen? You and I were never intended to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Only God is. That's reserved for God Himself, you see. So anyway, I'm going to just give a quick summary, and then I'm going to introduce this thing on the Word. We noted last week just a couple reminders on prayer, because honestly, I think there was quite a few of you that maybe didn't hear that message. I would encourage you to go online and listen to the messages over again. If there's something that you miss or something got distracted, we have them online for you. And typically, they're on there the same day. But we noted that prayer, okay, is one of the main lifelines that you and I have. Prayer empowers us to accurately represent Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to accurately represent Him. I don't want people looking at my life and saying, man, what a hypocrite. I don't want people to have that, that place. I want people to know. You know, what is your epitaph going to say on your stone, if you have one, you know? What's it going to say? Is it going to say that he was a man that served God wholeheartedly? Or is it going to say that he was one way over here or in another way over here? Maybe it's going to just say chameleon. Let's not be chameleons, friends. Let's not change colors based upon our environments. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just be who we're called to be. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. You're going to have flesh moments. Anybody have flesh moments this week? I did. It happens. But that's also where we recognize our dependency upon Jesus. And we also take heed to the words that Paul instructed. And he said, I crucify my flesh daily. Why? So that the Spirit of God can lead my heart and not my flesh.
Amen. Amen.
And prayer is so important. Prayer is where I die, okay, and Jesus comes alive. It's really the essence of Paul's message to the Galatian church, okay? And one of the last words in that letter, you'll see, he says to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And again, it's either Galatians or Ephesians. I might have screwed that up. I'm pretty sure it's Galatians. But Galatians, where he's talking about that, he's saying you need to walk in the Spirit. Do we contend to walk in the Spirit? And remember, if there's anything from today, remember, your flesh will never want to worship. Your flesh will always only worship when a certain song comes on. Your flesh will only worship in a certain style. Your flesh will only say yes if the pastor says, hey, can we raise our hands today? It's the posture that we take, you know? It is. We don't like authority, do we? We hate it. Even in the church, we hate it. You need to understand, I don't want to have it, but I have the responsibility with it for the congregation. And God will empower me to do that. But it's not a lording authority. I'm here to serve you and to bless you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to wash your feet. And some of you are like, all right, let's test him on that. Some of you, I've seen your feet, and I ain't washing them. But I want to be effective for the kingdom. Prayer is where that happens. Prayer is where God hears my heart and I hear his heart. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer is where the impossible becomes possible. And we looked at prayer in the life of Jesus. And we saw how Jesus relied on prayer. He prayed on all occasions, family, friends, strangers. Every aspect of his life involved prayer. And from his baptism to his last breath on the cross, Jesus prayed. And it's my prayer that we as a church would have that same revelation. Prayer is a lifeline, and so is the Word of God. Now I'm going to just go ahead and put that next slide up of Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you might know who this guy is. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. That was his trade. But he was a powerful, powerful evangelist. He was a man of faith. God worked some very unusual miracles through this man's life. And you'd look at this guy, and it would be, you know, we've actually got a couple plumbers that were in here. I don't see them here today, so I won't point them out. But the bottom line is that it doesn't matter what your trade is. This man wasn't filling, you know, it wasn't a pastor. He was a plumber. He was a plumber who believed the Word of God. He saw the Word of God as a lifeline to his life. And it was the foundation of his life, you see. It's where we our prayers come alive. The Word of God comes bubbling up, and we pray the Word of God over our lives. Well, there was four things, or actually five things that he talked about here. One of them he said was this: read the Word of God every day. Consume the Word of God until it consumes you. Believe the Word of God. Act on the Word of God. Because what does the Bible say? Faith without works is dead. You see, we don't do our works without faith because that's just hype, all right? You can do that. You can go through all the gyrations and not have faith. But really, our works for the kingdom of God should be a byproduct of what is going on in our hearts. We do these things because I'm just wanting to let the Spirit be in control and I love Jesus. And I will naturally have some kingdom works come out of me. There's a whole teaching we need to do there. But we need to act on the Word of God. And Isaiah 55 was another one. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. But read, consume, believe, and act. See, the Word of God is another lifeline, and without it, you and I are powerless. I'm going to give you a couple truths about God's Word before we get out of here. The Word of God is truth, friends. We live in a culture that has attacked the Word of God. The Bible has been attacked more than any other book. But you know what the all-time bestseller is? The Bible. All time. It's because the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's because it's alive. It's because it's His Word. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, the Word is the essence of who He is. He is what? He is the living Word, okay? He is described as the bread of heaven or the bread of life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's the Word of God. That's Jesus, okay? And it goes on to say that the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. We hear that at Christmas time a lot of times, you know, when we're reading through those scriptures. But the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Man, I feel the Lord in that. We need to understand that Jesus is the culmination of all of God's Word. It's who He is. Why is there so much attack on the Word of God? Why is there so much attack upon Jesus? It's because without the Word of God, without Christ in the gospel, there's no power and there's no freedom. There's no deliverance from the very things that we go through in this life. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 70 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's the Rhema Word of God. Rhema, that word. Have you ever been reading through your Bible and all of a sudden you're reading a passage? You may have read that passage 100 times and all of a sudden, bang, it just comes alive. It's the Rhema living Word of God just coming alive. It becomes part of you. It changes your life. Sometimes I've read a scripture 100 times and then it's just all that, so all of a sudden it's just that one time, bang, it just comes to life. Never saw that truth before. It's because the Word of God was scripted by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a book, friends. It's His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive. It's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. John 17:17 says that His Word is truth. John 6:36 says that the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. These are all attributes about God's Word, about Jesus. Isaiah 48 says that the grass will wither, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. Hallelujah. Forever and ever and ever. You can have a library full of books, but the Word of God will stand forever. Those books will fade away, but the Word of God will stand forever and ever and ever. You can attempt to shut it down. They've been trying for years. It can't be done. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope I whet your appetite for the next one, okay? All right. This is a good day in the house. Man, thank you so much for your love for Jesus. Man, yeah. God gets all the glory, always. He's the life changer. Amen? And you might be going through something right now, and if you need prayer, we want to stand with you, and we will pray with you. And if you need help on something, man, come to us. I want to sow the seed for one thing. Coming up in next month, we have a ministry here at the church, and some people know about it, but if you have your envelopes, you know that on there's a thing that says care ministry, okay? And right around Thanksgiving, we're going to take up a special love offering, okay? I'm just going to ask you to be praying about that, because there's a lot of people that are going through some hard struggles, man. I have people that come in here all the time, and this time of year, there's a lot of people that are just going through incredible hardships. I'd like to say that it's not always the same faces, but quite often it is. And, you know, and you can laugh about it, and they try to, and it's always the same story. I mean, I could tell you what it is, but the reality is they're hurting, okay? And they need help. They need freedom. And we're called to not make the indictment call on their heart. We're called to love them and help them. So I'm asking us as a church congregation to give towards the care ministry when we take up that special offering next month. That's going to be our local missions effort. Because I have people that come in and they need help with heating bills, and they need help with, you know, sometimes rent, and we'll do what we can. And it's real easy to write a check and do all that type of stuff, but friends, we as a church need to participate. Let that be a love offering at Thanksgiving, thanking God for all that He's done for us. It's scriptural, it's in His Word, and His Word is truth, right? So we need to do that. Amen? Amen. Hey, you know what? I love you all. I do. I pray for you every week, and God is going to, I'm telling you what, I have great anticipation in my heart. God's doing something amongst us. Let's keep the fire hot, okay? Let's keep the prayer burners going. If you don't got anything going Wednesday night, in fact, even if you do got something going Wednesday night, come out for prayer. Man, Rick's got a little fire burning in here. Come on out. Come out for prayer. And it's not him. It's not him and Mayor. The bottom line is all the glory goes to Jesus, and I know that, okay? It's all about that. But come on out, and let's pray. That's where things get changed. Let's get in your Word. If you haven't picked up your Bible in a while, man, dust that thing off or find a YouVersion. There's over 2,000 versions on that YouVersion app. I think you could find one that you could understand, all right? It doesn't have to be old King James. I know some of you walk around and it's like one of these. I've got my King James Bible and that's the only version I'm reading. That's okay, that's fine. But if somebody has a different version, let them read it, all right? Don't discourage it. Let's get in the Word of God and let's get in prayer. Amen? Amen. All right. You guys ready to go? Because here's the truth. It's an hour later, and I bet your stomachs are grumbling already. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you gave us in the house. Thank you, God, for the beautiful communion time we had. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just gracing us with your presence. I pray, Lord, that you will help each and every one of these dear ones. I pray that you'll bless their lives and you just bring them freedom, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they would not be self-condemning, but they would realize that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I pray that, God, even if some of them are just don't even have a routine of Bible reading or praying, I pray that maybe this week, Holy Spirit, you could just help them to start. Even if it's just something simple, Lord God, lead them to a devotional, lead them to a version, God, that would just help them understand some things a little better. And God, I pray that above all, that we would be relational and we would be sensitive to one another and we would pray for one another as we're going through these things, God, that we would bear one another's burdens. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we count it a privilege, God, to be part of Canton Assembly and the household of God, Lord. We consider it a privilege to be part of your kingdom. And God, before we go, we pray for those other churches in town, God, that are lifting up the name of Jesus, that Father, God, are not compromising the gospel. I pray for those pastors that they would be empowered and that they would be anointed, Father God, that you would fill those congregations with people that are on fire for Jesus, Lord God. And I pray that Canton would become known not for a series of bars or whatever it's been known for, Lord God, but I pray that this would be a town that's known for the Spirit of God. And when people come here, they experience something different and their lives are changed for glory and for eternity. Father, we love you and we thank you in the mighty, strong, majestic, holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all said together, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.